WordPress-based products are growing up. We're not just building simple themes and plugins, we're building business solutions. The idea of a $150 theme shouldn't be the least bit shocking. $300, $400, $5 plugins aren't out of the question when they're solving somebody's business needs. I want to challenge you to reevaluate your thoughts on products, pricing around the WordPress ecosystem. I'm John Hawkins, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the depths of internet magic and the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's tough.
You know what time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drad.
For the Dradcast, bringing you the latest in WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop. Talking shop with community leaders and innovators.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
Yes!
Now, we bring you your favorite Santan alumni. The craziest prior military geeks you'll ever meet. Your favorite WordPress personalities, Dre Armada and Brad Williams. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
Holy cow, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 2, and that, my friends, is the world's longest intro.
Let's do it.
Hey, Brad, how the hell are you, buddy? Nice
to
see
you, awesome, man. Episode 2, and the host has already butchered WordPress, so that's awesome. Thank you, John, for being here. You're fired.
It's one word, capitalize the P, my friend. I'm just saying.
I feel like you said it with a lowercase p. I feel like you did.
Definitely lowercase p. John, how the hell are you, buddy?
Other than screwing up the word WordPress, things are good, brother.
Oh, man, I'm really excited about this episode. A lot of fun stuff. It's great to be back. Wouldn't you know it, Brad, we're in a podcast that's actually had two podcasts in 2 weeks in a row. So I'm not even sure what to do.
We should retire while we're ahead.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea. So here we are, and I know that I want to get right into the meat and potatoes of things. So what I want to know is, what the hell are y'all sipping on?
Why don't you kick us off, John? What do you got over there?
Oh, I am very excited. Miller Lite.
Miller Lite, that's it? Come on, man. Where's the fireball?
Yeah, you can pretty much thank Pete Maul. I may never drink fireball whiskey again.
I don't think I like the sound of that.
Yeah, cinnamon death water. It's now its official name after some Phoenix action at WordCamp Phoenix in January. That was painful. I was there for that, and oh my gosh, it hurt so good.
It really did.
Hurt so good.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad to be back for episode 2. We've got some good stuff going on with the show being sponsored again there, Brad.
Well, Dre, who's sponsoring your drink over there?
I was going to skip it because I'm on Fat Man Needs to Lose Some Weight beer, and we're drinking some Miller 64. I was hoping you'd overlook that, but
nice.
The Segway King fails this time.
I got a little Stoli Raspberry and Club Soda, so
nice.
My soda? No, that doesn't work.
That almost sounds a little too fancy. I'm sorry.
I'm a fancy guy. What can I
Could
say?
Could you drink that out of like a Dixie cup or something? That would make me feel better.
Put a brown bag on it. We'd be good to go. Either that or you need to switch back to your Diet Duffs. Those were kind of kick-ass.
There you go.
Yeah, I might get there. We'll see. But let's talk about our sponsor tonight. So you know what, guys? Coffee shouldn't be expensive. And neither should your event management system. Introducing Event Espresso, affordable, scalable, and feature-rich event plugin for WordPress. We love these guys. We love the plugin. Mm-hmm. Check it out. If you're running an event in WordPress, you should absolutely be using Event Espresso. Sell your tickets, give your tickets away, coupon code, you name it. You can even scan tickets at the door. I love that feature.
That's what's up.
Check out eventespresso.com, and they have a 20% off coupon code, DRADCAST20. So apply that, save some Jenga on the checkout, and give them a shot. They are awesome. We love these guys.
Say hi to Seth if you run into him at a WordCamp. That guy's one cool dude. Yes.
And likes to drive fast cars. I'll tell you what, the last couple WordCamps I spent with him, he was in some type of hot rod. So the guy's definitely a motorhead. That's pretty cool.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I think he had a Mustang here at the last one. He's just hauling balls to the wall, so that's pretty fun stuff, as I like to kind of do that stuff myself.
Nice.
John, man, I'll tell you what, I was at Phoenix. I was sitting there near you. Actually, I sat into your session, but at the end, they started to talk about giving away stuff, and one of the ones that they wanted to give away was for the person that had been to the most WordCamp. So I started counting, and I know that I broke personally over 30, but you won hands down. I don't remember what the exact number was, but I think it was a landslide victory.
No. Phoenix was actually number 35 for me personally.
35.
Which is just nuts. And actually, it was funny. Earlier today on Twitter, somebody had, it was Duff, sent out a link to 9seeds.com/wordcamps, which it's kind of the only way that I actually keep track of where the hell I've been.
I love it. That's like that's been on my to-do list to build something like that for like 2+ years now. It's like if I don't start like writing this stuff down and at this point I just need to make a spreadsheet at the very least.
Actually, you know what? The cool thing about it, the way that so I just redid the site, and so one of the things that we added was in there, so anytime that we've got a video, like once a video goes up like on WordPress TV, I just add it in as a URL and it automatically adds a little video link right next to the event. So any of the events that I've been at and talked at and the video is actually not embarrassing enough that somebody puts it online, I just can link to it really easy, just drop it in there. So it's pretty
sweet. What was the link again?
9seeds.com/wordcamps.
Wow, there you go. I posted that in the chat as well. It's really neat, guys. Take a look at that. In fact, I need to do the same thing because my list is getting pretty dang long as well. John, in fact, this is actually how we met, was at a WordCamp Orange County. I don't know how many years ago now. It's been a few.
Yeah,
and then I met up with you at Vegas, and I know at the beginning you're like, who the heck is this weirdo? You weren't sure kind of who I was and my involvement and all that stuff, and then that's many, many moons ago. I love you like a brother. Now this is great to have this type of relationship. But walk back through that. I mean, how did your involvement with WordPress start? How did your involvement with WordCamp start, and where did you kind of go from there in building the business and all of that?
So I've been using WordPress literally since like 3 months after it came out. So I've been using the system forever. And then a couple years in, some people, like I was already kind of like making my own themes and, you know, screwing around with functionality and blah, 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 doing all of that stuff. And then people started asking me to do it. And so I started freelancing on the side, doing some of that, which was cool. And then kind of fast forward, I started seeing that this whole WordCamp idea was going around, and they were happening all over the place, but none here in Vegas. And so I made the awesome mistake of tweeting out, hey, when is there going to be a WordCamp in Vegas, and who's doing it? And the overwhelming response was, you are.
Someone should get behind that. Who should that be?
Apparently the answer to that was me. I actually I organized my very first WordCamp in January of 2009, before I had even attended any other WordCamps. Anybody out there who's thinking of doing that? Yeah, that's a bad idea. It's just so bad. But at the same time, you can't say, well, I should have known better because I saw it somewhere else. I could plead dumb to pretty much everything, so it was fantastic. but yeah, you know, and then after I did one, right after that, I got invited to go speak up at WordCamp Reno. Drove out and went to the one in Denver, and it just kind of really snowballed. And first off, I mean, I've met so many freaking cool people, and I would say that 90% of my friends that I hang out with now and interact with are straight through the through WordCamps. And I mean, it's awesome. That's now a lot of the times that I'm traveling to them, I'm going because I want to see you, and I want to see Brad, and I want to see Shane, and I want to see the guys up in Portland, and all of that. It's kind of like old home week. And I'll kind of go back to like when all of us went down to Tybee for the summit. We all rented one big house, and at the end of the day we kind of sat back in a room, and we're just kind of throwing the shit around where we're just like, hey, what do you use for this? And well, what do you use for that? And CRM this and Alfred that, like all those cool Mac tips that we were just kind of passing around. And we all get so busy during the day and during the week and during the month that like all of a sudden you just don't even notice the stuff's there. And it was so cool to have all of that, like just chit-chatting in one room. And
well, I think the other thing that we shared there that actually still sits with me, and I mean that quite literally, right in the left side of my lower intestine is some special food that I ate of, but I don't think that affected me as much as it did Brad Williams, who in part ate the size package of pizza rolls that you can buy at Costco.
It's like the pizza rolls, I think, are my secret addiction. Like, I grew up on them as a kid, and then, like, you know, going into high school, doing a lot of, like, networking, gaming. I mean, we lived off of, like, pizza rolls and Mountain Dew, so there's, like, it's literally the one thing I can't have in the house, because if they're in the house, they will get made, and I will eat every single one of them. And you guys have seen it firsthand.
I'm seriously,
not kidding when I say I will eat every single one of them.
The audio from that podcast was maybe one of the best things ever. It's just like, ding, pizza rolls are ready.
It's like, I'll be back, guys. I gotta go attend to the pizza roll.
Oh gosh, Brad looked like the, I don't know, from what's the guy, the chef from Sesame Street, but man, with pizza rolls, dude. This guy was
the Swedish chef.
Yeah, this guy was going to town on these things.
And you know what? I haven't had a single one since. Like, I probably ate 50 that night. I haven't touched, like, I can't, it's like, I mean, it's like my drug. I literally need to go to Pizza Rolls Anonymous, and I can't have them in the house anywhere near me. They get eaten.
That's funny. Pizza Rolls Anonymous. So there's the show title, folks. I didn't mention this earlier on. Make sure that you're noting any funny tidbits from the show. We may use it in our show notes and on the website as the official title.
I'd like to touch on Vegas. So my first work camp Vegas was 2 years ago. And, you know, I definitely want to go out. I love going to work camps that are organized by my buddies. So, you know, John, you've done it for, I think that was your third one at the time, if I remember right.
Third or fourth.
2011.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I think I was there for 3 days and slept a total of 8 hours the entire 3 days. I got in. I didn't go to bed till about 7 or 8 a.m. local time the first night I was there, which is like, I don't know, 10 or 11 my time in the morning. Like, it's just like what you think about Vegas is exactly what happened.
Like, I was just going to say, hey, welcome to Vegas, buddy.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it was crazy. Like, Dre just drops, you know, a little bit of money in a slot machine and one's like $800, $900. Like, I mean, it was a fun time. And I definitely want to come back. I like Vegas in small doses. I honestly don't know how you live there, but, you know, hats off to you for doing it. But it was a really fun event, so it was memorable, and I will definitely be back.
Cool, man. I think we're going to aim for December this year. We did that 2 years ago, and it's kind of a funny time here because it's kind of a lull. So we got amazing, great deals on the hotels. Like, we had people staying at the Hard Rock, and like the what was it? It was like $59 bucks or something like that. Like, I still have people telling me, "Oh my God, how'd you get that deal?" And it's really just the time of year. So I think we're going to aim for that again. It just worked out really well.
Yeah, it was actually became the mayor of Planet Hollywood while I was out there last time. I don't know how that happened, but holy
cow. Nothing good could come from that.
Yeah, it definitely cannot. So I want to talk about Nine Seeds a little bit. It's been around for a long time as a powerhouse in terms of development and project work for WordPress-based stuff. And it's anybody in the WordPress world understands and knows the brand and knows that John and the team there put quality work together. Kind of how did that stem? How did that come to life?
Where'd the name come from? I'd love to hear that story.
Where'd the name come from? Where's it go next, right? Because you guys are doing a lot of plugin stuff, which isn't necessarily project-based work or service-based work
anymore. Yeah, so actually... first off, how did Nine Seeds come around is WordCamp Vegas, that first one. I met Shane Sanderson and my other partner, Todd Hewish, which you guys both have met. We all were just hanging out there, and we kind of really became really good friends, like, really quick, and we were all kind of hating our corporate America jobs, and we just decided that we'd start doing this freelance stuff on the side, and then, like, seriously, by October of that year, we're just like, we've kind of got too much business to be doing this as a side project. Let's just kind of make it official. And so how the name came up, actually, it's funny. We were just talking about 37 Signals right before we came online, and I'm a big fan of theirs. And we were kind of trying to come up with something. We wanted a really short domain name. We wanted something that was available on Facebook and Twitter, blah, blah, all that crap. But we really wanted something nice and short. And so we were kind of coming up with, like, you put two rows of words together, right? You just start throwing stuff into rows, and nothing was really kind of hitting for us. And then so. 37 Signals was a brand that I really liked. I really admired them. I'd read their book, and I really liked what they were doing. And so I liked their whole number name thing. So so we started coming up with numbers, and we were going to do 3 seeds. So I liked seeds because it was kind of like the beginning of something, right? It's the cultivation, the what is this going to grow into? And so that's kind of where that part came from. But 3seeds.com was taken.
9's better.
3 was taken. 3 seeds was taken. And that's then and then we didn't really like any of the other numbers that kind of fell in there, and then 9 just kind of had like a, I don't know, it just kind of worked.
Well, folks, 9 Seeds, America's green WordPress company.
Boom. Done.
I just registered 10seeds.com, so no offense, but
you know, it's funny, I've got 8 seeds.
10 seeds are better than 9, that's all I'm saying.
Well, that's awesome.
Somebody mentioned the fact that since Todd is no longer with us and since Shane is no longer with us, should we be 7 seeds at this point? But you know.
Well, so to my original point, thank you for that explanation. That tells me a lot in terms of the name and kind of where you guys started. Where are you guys going? So great starting point. Where are you heading?
So we got a lot of crazy stuff on the horizon. Like, we're definitely moving into a product-type company as well. Our event ticketing plugin is doing well. We're almost at 20,000 downloads of that in the repo. We're actually rewriting it right now, and within the next few weeks, we're going to be releasing a complete revamped version of it. Version 2.0 is going to be pretty sexy. It's all custom post types and blah blah blah, all the stuff you'd expect. But that's just kind of like one of the projects that we've got on our plate. We've actually partnered up with a guy out of Arizona, and who's got a really slick iPhone app for coupons, and we're actually writing the entire back end. It's all WordPress based and just XML RPC back and forth. So lots of cool kind
WordPress
of
WordPress as an application.
Seriously.
Framework.
You know, it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant because even if you take a look at the WordPress iOS app, which is an open source app, like you could take that and make that the base of any kind of front end, mm-hmm. and you have all of that connectivity back and forth, and then you just XML RPC data back and forth. Like, you've already got like half a plugin. I mean, you've got half an application written before you've written a line of code.
Well, let's talk about that. So in the world's eyes, WordPress has definitely manifested itself into something a lot bigger than it with its original forms, which was a blogging platform that was speared off of another open source project. It turned into a content management system type of thing, the world's most popular open source publishing platform, if you will. And then it's turned into something even greater than that, a framework for applications and application building. So in terms of that, it's definitely matured. It's definitely growing up. Your intro today was key on a different aspect of that. Now we've got products that are being developed and that are being deployed to the world, that are being sold, and those are maturing. Those are becoming something that are solving big-time business needs.
Absolutely.
Where does this continue to grow? This is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is like literally just the absolute tip of the iceberg. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where we've probably had this conversation 100 times where it's, you know, you kind of got that line in the sand, right? And you got to think on the one side, you've got like our entire group of friends, our WordPress community we love the WordPress eco, right? Like we just love the whole little thing about it being WordPress. But there's a whole other side of the fence, which is the business side of things. They don't give a rat's ass about whether it's built on WordPress or whether it's built on Drupal or Joomla or whatever. It doesn't matter. What's under the hood doesn't matter. What really kind of gets them off is having an absolute solution. So if you come in,
cost effective too, right? So it does matter in terms of technology, depending on the bottom line. How much am I going to profit, and how long can I sustain this at the lowest cost possible?
Right, but this is kind of where I think, you know, you kind of almost need to. We know what WordPress can do, kind of behind the scenes, mm-hmm. but I'm thinking that you don't necessarily need to sell, like, I'm not going to go out and sell something and say, oh my God, this is the best WordPress solution. What I want to say is, this is the best solution. Oh, by the way, it's built on WordPress.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? Like, it's a big difference. I mean, you're really talking about having a solution, and it just so happens that WordPress is the vehicle. Like, it's almost a secondary thing.
So yeah, it's all about having the right solution. And what I always tell people, you know, people think, oh, I'm on the, you know, I drink the WordPress Kool-Aid, that's all I ever recommend. Well, that's not true. There are people that come to us and say, hey, I need to do XYZ, and I'm like, and they're like, I want to use WordPress, and I'll say, look, you know, I don't think that's a good, that's not the right platform for you.
Absolutely.
You know, it's, there is something out there that might be more tailored or specific to exactly what you're trying to do.
Right.
And I always, you know, recommend open source stuff, but, you know, WordPress can handle 99% of it, but there's always going to be that, like you said, it's about having the right application, you know, for what people are trying to do.
You know, that when you look at it, I mean, e-commerce with a lot of SKUs, things like that, that's a really challenging thing for WordPress to handle. It can't handle everything completely. But what it can handle is a damn good-looking website, and a website that's functional, that fits those business needs that we're talking about today. And now we're starting to see things like on WordPress.com where they're offering a theme that's $150. Now, historically, no one wanted to pay for these type of things. Well, WordPress is free, so you've got that connotation where everything associated to should be free, which, frankly, that's ridiculous, right? We're building business. We're solving problems with these websites based on WordPress and actually building a site that's really sustainable. It's going to be usable for a long time. Why not pay for that? It's fulfilling a need, and I think we're starting to see that maturity grow, not just from the platform and the ecosystem and the products that we're building, but from an audience understanding point of view. They're starting to see the value there, and they're starting to know that they have to pay for these things as they continue to grow. What's your kind of thoughts there? Will it continue to grow that direction?
Well, John, you know, I mean, you run 9Seeds and you've been working on client projects for a long time. I mean, how many people have contacted you or come to you and said, hey, I want to build this site. It does, you know, ABC, whatever. You know, what's it going to cost me? And you give them a quote, and they're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, WordPress is free. Like, what's going on here? Why am I paying this much money when WordPress is free? Like, I mean, that happens all the time. It still happens today, right?
Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's just it. I mean, you know, it's, you really have to step back and talk to those people and say, you know, are you taking your business seriously? You know, it's, if you were going to try to open a business, right? Like, what does it take to open a business? Like, you got to go get a lease on a building, and you got to get this, that, the other. I mean, you're going to spend, like, that $150, I mean, you're going to spend that on gas money alone. I mean, you know what I mean? It's, you kind of got to really decide what, just because the business is quote unquote an online business doesn't make it any less of a business. I mean, it's, starting a business is going to take some money, and if you want to go and get a free theme, hey, dude, that, absolutely. But you know, it's that $150 theme, you gotta think that they understand what the value is, and somebody who's going to go and look at that theme and say, I really like that theme, and for my business, that kind of gets me really close to what I want without having to go and pay for a custom theme, like a $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 solution. This off-the-shelf thing gets me 80% of the way there. I can get like a minimum viable product out and decide if this is going to be something that I want to do long-term. And if so, then you go and you talk to me or you talk to Brad and you have us build you something, you know, much bigger. But it's just that, I think it's just another step in the evolution of what people are, are going to start being, just understanding as the norm. That's $150 for a theme. Shoot, I'm not even going to look at your project for $150.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I feel like we know there's a bigger value there than I think a lot of the users do. And I think having someone like WordPress.com come out and say, look, You should feel okay spending more on something that's a higher quality. It kind of validates what we've been saying for a long time. Like, look, there's absolutely no reason you can't spend money on quality products around WordPress, whether it's a theme, whether it's a plugin. I mean, John, in your intro, you nailed it. There should be $300, $400, $500 plugins. You know, there's a handful of them out there, but there's probably less than 10 that I know of, maybe less than 5. That are over $100.
Well, it's building a bridge into the regular consumer where the enterprise has been willing to spend for a long time. There's been a lot of closed source solutions, whether it's anything from desktop publishing to the actual web content management systems that are being paid for in high dollars that are half the product that you get with WordPress or any of the things that are built on it or around it to extend it. It's helping, I think, the end user, the consumer, regular consumer, understand that there is tremendous value there and a lot less risk than having to go into that big giant project to have something custom made, and they may not be ready for that just yet.
Right. Well, hey, let me ask you guys this: Gravity Forms, $199 a year, $199 a year. Do you guys pay it?
Yeah.
I'm grandfathered into the flat rate. Yeah, hands down. I mean, I should probably just send them a bunch of money every year because it's like ridiculous. Almost every contact that comes in, I'm like, all right, they want to do this, Gravity Forms. They want to do that, Gravity Forms. They want to do this, Gravity. You know, it's just like it's there. And we're really good at changing it and extending it and making it do anything and everything people want to do.
I'm not doing a lot of projects anymore where I'm building sites, but I'm still going to pay for that every year because anything that comes up, I'm going to use Gravity Forms on. That's just me. Yep.
It's just part of doing business. That's all. That's it. Simple.
Definitely value there, and I think that there's value in anything that you're going to get involved with in terms of having a website on, whether that's the security piece and getting stuff there, whether it's the theme and the outward facing piece to that, and having a really professional looking website with something that's it's not customized and thousands of dollars. That's not for everybody. Right. Same thing goes with the plugins that we're talking about, forms and everything else. That also gets into kind of where this website lives and what you're doing in terms of hosting. Where does that live? How do you keep that website up online? How do you keep it available? How do you keep it safe and secure there? So there was a couple articles that were released this week based on an outage by the WordPress VIP folks. It was less than 15 minutes. I think it was like a 6 or 7 minute outage, but TechCrunch released an article that was very snarky, and it rubbed a lot of community members in a really bad way. We'll post the article here. Where was it?
That's my snarky sound effect, by the way.
Yeah, I was like, don't beat a dead horse, but we're gonna anyways, because that's what we do around here. Here's the original article. Man, I'll tell you what, it was just... From my understanding, the guy that wrote this, which he's got every right to write whatever he wants. It's their publication, and they can do whatever they want. But with any post that you put out and you publicize it, people have the right to comment on that, and I think that a lot of us did in the remarks here in terms of their kind of direction. If you're not expecting an outage on any website, I don't care how much you're paying a month and how good they are, you're crazy. You welcome to the internet. This is you're caught like a Time Warp's AOL type thing. No pun intended, TechCrunch. What I tell you now is that if you're online and you have a website, you're going to experience outages. I don't care how big or small they are. So the article was a little odd for me. What was your guys' take on it?
I'm with you, man. I couldn't. It's you got to expect some. Nothing is bulletproof. I mean, I don't care how secure you are. At some point, there's the possibility of getting hacked. I mean, doesn't matter. I mean, your house gets broken into, but you've got the best security system in the world. All right, it doesn't matter. I mean, you kind of got to expect that. And, I don't care what everybody is going to have an outage of some sort. There is no 100%. I think it was a little bit snarky, and, it's probably one of those things where he kind of wrote it like in the heat of the moment. And you know how it is. If your stuff went down and you were down for 15 minutes, there's never a good time for something like that to go down. But you also don't know what the rest of his day looked like or the rest of his week. That could have happened 15 minutes after they just sent the biggest proposal in the world to, whoever. It doesn't matter. So I get where he's coming from, but I think he's off base.
Well, I think the whole, you nailed it, Dre, the snarkiness of it. Like, I expect if it's a tech blog, we understand that, right? They talk about tech. If their host goes down, they're going to write about it. I totally understand that they're going to write about it and say, hey, WordPress, this isn't the first time VIP's gone down. And this isn't the first time TechCrunch has wrote about it. It's just really the tone of the article that I think really rubbed everyone the wrong way. I mean, he's basically like, oh, the error message, how professional is that? They said they were down 5 minutes. It was more like 15. It's like, the snarkiness of it is uncalled for. And this from the guy that tattooed Matt's Twitter name onto his body for a charity event. Which
great charity.
Hats off. And yeah, for sure. So you can't hate him that much, right? But it's like, come on, dude. I mean... things happen, and WP Engine wrote a great blog post. I don't know if you guys saw this or any of the listeners. It's called "Do You Have 100% Uptime?" and we'll throw it in the show notes. Basically, they kind of mentioned the downtime on VIP and a couple other, you know, WordPress hosts and other hosts that do a lot of WordPress. And basically said, you know, can you ever have 100% uptime? And anyone in the industry knows, no, that's an impossible, it's an impossible feat. You know, you can never have pure 100. Something is always going to happen, no matter how many redundant upon redundant servers and backups you have, something will happen. It's inevitable. So, you know, I really like kind of the bullet points towards the bottom. Rather than saying, hey, are you 100% up? You know, rather than that, ask questions like, what's your track record? You know, how are incidents handled when they happen? You know they're going to happen. How do they handle them? How often do they happen? You know, what, you know, how do they get the word out when things happen? Like, it's more about, in my opinion, with the host, uptime, yeah, that percentage is important. But every host says 99.9% uptime. Every single one says that. So I'm more curious about what happens. How do you handle it? How do you tell people? Do you have a status blog not hosted in the same environment as all your other servers that are going to go down? Are you going to let us know on Twitter what the hell is going on if it's been down for 5 minutes? Or are you just going to go radio silent while you try to figure it out? You know, that's what I'm interested in. That's what everybody else should be interested in, you know?
I learned that from my old boss, actually. That was, you know, we back at my previous company, like, if something was going wrong, my immediate instinct was to start working on it and try to fix it. And he'd come in and be like, hey, did you tell the guy that you're working on it? And I said, no, I'm working on it. He's like, take a second, tell the client that you're working on it, mm-hmm. and then get to work on it. This way he at least knows that you're working on it, and, you know, he's at least kind of got that. He understands that you know that the issue is kind of being addressed. And I agree, like, knowing that piece right there is a big step.
Communication. A lot of times just communication can eliminate all that, you know, basically the whole chaotic, you know, the town's burning down or whatever. Just tell people, no, the town's not burning down. We have a small power outage. It'll be fixed shortly. We're working on it, you know, whatever. It's like, I don't know. It's just the whole article, and I think the WordPress community kind of jumped at it because it is VIP, and they specifically called that out. And, you know, it's just the snarkiness of it.
The snarkiness and some of the inaccuracies, right? He was specifically pointing out WordPress as the issue, which WordPress had nothing to do with it.
Did he blame Automattic at some point? Like,
well, no,
Automattic actually screwed us.
Well, the actual TechCrunch, the Crunchbase that he included, which they include on most of their articles when speaking about any external party or company, was WordPress.org versus Automattic, which was quickly pointed out in the comments because it, again, had nothing to do with WordPress. So I think some of the inaccuracies, I think it was put out in haste or very quickly. That the tone it kind of transpires there, I don't really care for it. They're right, their blog post, awesome. My challenge with it overall was some of the comments beyond that from external parties saying, well, quit your whining. He's got every right to do that. Well, so we're whining about him whining, and you're whining that we're whining. So, like, you know, pot meat kettle. For those that were doing that, I mean, simmer down, dude. That's the whole point of a blogging system, and having comments enabled is for us to leave comments on a snarky
best,
post. Like
best comment, in my opinion, was Lisa Saban Wilson didn't even notice.
Yep.
I think that sums it up nicely.
Salu, man.
Drops the mic and walks out.
I'm out. I'm free for lunch. Let's rock and roll. Speaking of free, let's rock and roll with something 2013 feeling. I feel a theme coming on. Folks, did you guys see the release for 2013? This is...
Never heard of it. What are you talking about?
Well, 2013 is going to be the new theme for WordPress. You got to love it.
When's that coming up?
You know, I'm thinking somewhere around 2013.
Oh, I see. Is that how it works? Boom.
Now, the neat thing is that there's some epic changes here. This is like no theme I've seen released with WordPress, and I think it looks beautiful. There's a couple demos up already.
I know. I knew you would love it because it's like white space galore. And yes. You like you guys, the listeners, you don't know the battles Dre and I had on the website with the white space. I'm like, Dre, there's white space. We have to fill it with content. He's like, no, absolutely not. White space stays.
You know, the first comment here on the make.wordpress.org article that was released is first impression, wow. And for me, this being the default theme that's going to be released with WordPress, I have the same sentiment. I think this is where we need to be thinking in terms of the themes that are released with WordPress to really showcase kind of where it can go, what it can do. I'm excited. Like, I've got a passionate smile right now. I'm totally stoked to see where they're heading. jQuery Masonry, so we talked about that pre-show. That's actually in the article here. It talks a little bit about its inclusion and how it's being used. Very good stuff.
It looks great. I mean, I've already seen a couple of different guys who are running it. Aaron Campbell's got one. He's updated his blog with it. I think Jason Tucker as well. And man, it just looks so nice. And it's just such a drastic difference from kind of what's come out before as the default themes. I freaking love it. I love seeing this kind of direction. It's kind of a bigger, bolder direction, and I like that. Huh. I like it a lot.
I think it's cool. I mean, and I'm a developer, so that says a lot. But
what do you know?
It looks nice. And what's cool is they basically said, look, there's going to be a lot of opinion, either very strongly for it or very strongly against it. And I've heard a lot of both. I just love the fact that it's, you know, rather than going safe like the last few themes, you know, let's get crazy. Let's just do something that hasn't been seen before as far as a core theme, you know. The colors, I think, are cool. I think it works. Obviously, it's still got a long way to go, but overall, I mean, I think it's a really great start, so I'm anxious to see where it ends up. There's a focus on blogging this time, where I think the last, you know, 2012, the focus was on not necessarily a blog. Like, you could certainly blog with it, but it was more of, you know, what can you do outside of a blog type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think it's neat to see that these themes are starting to progress in a way that are much more unique, and they're just going to leave an impact more so than the previous batch.
One of the discussion points that I heard come up was, well, you know, historically the themes, or at least the last couple that were released, we had a real starting point or a framework type feel to these themes. They were very vanilla in terms of the interface, and it was a great starting point to make your own child theme and that type of thing, where this has a lot of, design kind of heavy elements, outward facing, which is very uncharacteristic of historical themes released. Where does this go? I mean, is it still going to be a great starting point? I haven't personally looked at all the code or anything, but is it going to be more challenging from that perspective, and does it become something that we maybe move away from those child theme type setups?
I haven't looked either yet, but you know, the last couple of themes have really had a focus on almost being kind of like a training ground, right? Like, when you look under the hood, you open up the files, and they've kind of gone out of their way to make sure that they kind of explain like how to do all the different things, and especially for making it into a framework, child theme, etc. So I haven't looked yet, but I have to assume that that's kind of going to be the focus under the hood as well.
I like the I'm into the sticky header navigation.
So oh, yeah. It looks so good.
That's sexy.
I love it. Love, love, love it.
Yeah, it's cool. It'll be neat to see where it ends up. It's you know, somewhat responsive already at this point if you size it down. You know, it definitely has that aspect to it, which is important. It should be a training tool. You know, honestly, it would be neat to see something like a new plugin introduced in core every version or something as well, just along the same lines of, here's a plugin that is, you know, a lot of people use things like Hello Dolly as a training tool.
I have mine
Akismet as a training tool. That
might, yeah, mine is Hello Biggie. I've kind of changed it to Hello Biggie for mine, but it's cool.
Hello Biggie. I thought you were West Coaster, man.
Hey, you got to love some Biggie, bro. Come on now.
Oh, what's going on there?
Ouch.
Well, that was inappropriate.
Yeah, that was completely inappropriate.
Cool theme.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you those were the main pressing topics of the week. I don't have any more in terms of big topics to discuss. You guys have any other awesome pieces that you want to talk about?
So I can tell you about what I did this week in trying to hurry up and be ready for this show. I did a site redesign on 9Seeds, did a new Genesis child theme. I was almost going to just pick an off-the-shelf theme because we built the other one about 2.5 years ago and haven't really updated it very much since. And I'm starting to get to that point where things were maybe starting to kind of collide a little bit. I couldn't do some stuff that I wanted, so put together a new theme over the last couple of days, and I'm going to say that it's not done, but I'm not having the issues with gravity forms colliding anymore, so that's always fun.
That's good. I like it. It's a nice, clean look. It's lighter than your previous theme, which I remember, but it still looks good. It still has your overall kind of feel to it, so definitely came off nice.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things where it's kind of like we do site design and development, so for a long time I was going to just pick a theme off the shelf. I'm like, screw it, just picking something so I can just get updated. And then I got almost all the way done with it, and I'm like, I can't do it. I can't push publish, man. It's just not going to fly. So, but, you know, actually it kind of leads into something that, you know, when you're building something for yourself, like you guys with the Dradcast, like you kind of – it's kind of that weird thing where it's like, how much effort are you going to put into doing that as compared to what you're going to do for a client? And like, I kind of rushed to kind of get the new 9 seeds out just because I needed to get something new out.
It's tough. I mean, it goes back to the whole philosophy of trying to do projects for yourself and balance that with client work, you know. And yeah. And when I say but for yourself, I mean for your company or your freelance business, whatever you're doing. I mean, it's a really, really hard thing to do because obviously clients, you know, take precedence. Clients pay the bills. So when do you find time to redesign your site? And one thing that we found over the years that has worked for us for a larger, you know, redesign, we've done a couple of the past few years, we actually take that time between Christmas and New Year's and we close the doors to, you know, to client work. And, you know, basically we're essentially closed, but what we do is an internal hackathon. And that's when we power through a lot of those really big internal things we need to do, like redesigns, you know, whatever it may be, plugins, internal plugins, you know, premium plugins, themes, whatever it is that we want to focus on. It's nice because that's a perfect time of the year to where it's, you know, email contacts are really, really quiet. Everyone's doing their family thing and traveling. So that's it. For us, that's a great time of the year to do stuff like that. And throughout the year, it's hard even to make a couple changes on our templates because it's right? just exactly. Where do you fit it into the day, you know? So.
You know, back when me, Todd, and Shane were working together, we had kind of instituted a internal work Friday, and we just basically would kind of, you know, work crazy hours Monday through Thursday, and then Friday wasn't really a day off, but it was more of a, let's just kind of work on something that is very 9 seeds focused. So be it the theme, be it writing blog posts or, you know, whatever it was, and that really went a long way, sadly, that kind of died, and I don't do that anymore.
Oh. Big sleep.
I kind of want to... Did I lose you there, Dre?
Died just like John's feed.
Aw.
Boo, boo, boo.
Am I still there?
Oh, my homie got shot.
I think you're back.
Did I go away?
Guess who's back?
I'll fill dead air with sound effects. It's cool.
Do it. That was good.
How about...
Nowadays, everybody want a blog like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they hack your scripts. It's a bunch of gibberish, and WordPress is acting like they forgot about Dre.
Holy cow. And
everybody forgot.
I think they all forgot. Well, I'll tell you, you're absolutely right, man. It's challenging to juggle kind of your internal projects or you know, personal projects when you've got so many other things going on, but you got to keep on moving, and that's yeah. How cool stuff gets made. You've got to keep on moving. I'm going to move into the sponsor segment here at the end here. And again, this episode was brought to you by Event Espresso. The folks over at Event Espresso have been analyzing some of their user data lately, and they're estimating that Event Espresso now powers over 250,000 events and helps to sell over 100 million tickets each year at various events across the world. That's pretty dang cool, I would say. They're in the middle of or in the late stages of finalizing their iPad app, which will be released here in the next couple of weeks. With that, they've released a RESTful API that's available over at their Codex, which is reachable over at codex.eventespresso.com. They're currently hiring, it looks like, and they're also looking at third-party developers to come help their customers with customizations, website designs, and even implementations of an Event Espresso. So if you're interested in that kind of work, head over to eventespresso.com, and you'll head over to the Developers Wanted link. As Brad mentioned early on the show, we've got a cool discount going on with them, which will give you 20% off all of Event Espresso products by using discount code DRADCAST20 over at eventespresso.com. Thanks again, guys, for sponsoring us. We couldn't do it without you.
Hey, you know, speaking of those guys and kind of tying this back into what we were talking about at the beginning about plugins that kind of cost some money, you know, here's the thing. Like, the guys over at Event Espresso, they've really carved out a niche for themselves, and they're kicking ass. Like, if you go read their site, they got like 7 people working for them.
It's awesome.
Like, that doesn't happen when you're giving a plugin away for free, folks. You know, you want awesome products. You want something with an iPad app. You want something with you know, scanning the tickets in with an iPhone and blah, blah. You want all of that stuff. Guess what? That stuff costs money to make and costs money to buy. And I think, God, I love what they're doing over there. It's so awesome.
They have even spun up a podcast. I don't know if you guys are aware.
Oh, is that right?
They have a Event Espresso podcast that they're running now. So if you go to their site and check it out, I think they've done two episodes where they kind of talk about what they're working on, what's upcoming, things like that. It's kind of neat. I mean, it'd be neat to see more, commercial products do stuff like that. You know, let's see the developers behind it and hear what they're working on here. You know, they can demo, they're demoing new features and upcoming stuff and beta stuff. So it's kind of a cool idea. I can't think of any other, you know, premium products around WordPress I've seen doing that yet. So it's kind of a neat take on it.
But that gets back to the kind of big picture. You've got huge applications like the Twitters of the world and what name, you know, you name it. And they're doing all these cool demos and all this type of fun stuff. Stripe has done some really neat demos and things like that. Why can't WordPress-related products do that? Why, just because they're based off of WordPress or work there, why does it mean that we don't do that? And I think that's what we need to get away from. And it's in our own rights, we're developing things that are very useful, that's solving those business problems. And just because it's built on WordPress, like any other type of application framework, it's still a product in its own right. And we need to start treating them that way.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to all have their own little ecosystem around themselves. And there's these things do become like. Brad, you guys have Collab Press. I mean, I don't know. I know you guys have been kind of working on it. It kind of comes and goes. Like, I freaking love that thing. I can't wait to see what the next version looks like. What's going on with it? Let's get a podcast on Collab Press.
We've really ramped up Collab Press. So you should check out make.collabpress.org because Chris Cochran, Eric Lewis, Scott Baskard, myself, Boone, a few others were working on an actual completely revamped UI to it. And there are mock-ups and screenshots on the Make blog, and we're doing weekly chats and IRC. So we're trying to kind of get it more more consistent and more community involvement. It's up on Git, so we're all working on kind of our separate features for the latest version. But it's kind of fun looking at things like new mockups and actually seeing the code around that take shape. So
that's cool.
I think, and it gets us excited to work on it because a lot of people just kind of work on it in-house. They don't kind of share it out there on GitHub and other channels. So it's kind of fun to work on stuff like that and try to get more people involved. And then it just kind of, it's been ramping up progressively because of that. So it's kind of
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Good deal. I should our actual plugin for event ticketing is up on Git, but we haven't really been talking about it too terribly much. But as we get a little bit closer to wrapping it up, we're definitely putting together a lot of. I mean, it's got hooks and filters galore. So the whole idea is that this is really going to be a framework plugin that you're going to be able to add in whatever the heck you want to it. So we're definitely doing a lot around the. Making it available for developers to extend. So that's
And I don't know if it was your last rebuild or if it's included in this one. A while back, you showed me some wireframes. I don't know if it's kind of the same direction you're still heading, but those were pretty cool when you showed me those, which is quite a while ago now.
It was quite a while ago. Same basic direction. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing. We kind of took those and morphed it a little bit into more of a WordPress standard look and feel. We've got things that are coming out that'll end up being kind of like the event wizard that'll kind of let you walk through the instant process of going through and setting up an event, and it'll just kind of like ask you all the questions you need. You fill in a couple of blanks, and it's going to build everything for you. So that's the direction that we're going. We kind of want to do that kind of very, very simple, make it very easy for somebody to, you know, hey, business solution, right? You want to just kind of make it really simple for somebody to be able to do something specific. And
I'd love to see that in the podcasting world, a nice simple plugin to be able to get your stuff published.
Seriously.
Folks, let's move into bar tricks here. I know I've got one. What do you guys got going on? Shoot over your bar tricks.
You go, Brad.
Oh, you want me to kick it off, huh? All right, I got a cool bar trick. It's actually a track ticket I've been getting involved with a little bit. I'll look to contribute back to, and it's the new Twitter importer that hopefully be released soon, probably prior to 3.6. The nice thing about the importers inside of WordPress Core now, or they're not actually inside WordPress Core, they're plugins. So when you go to say, hey, I want to import WordPress, it asks you to install the plugin. The reason being is it allows them to push up more frequent updates to those importers outside of, you know, major releases in WordPress. So there is a Twitter WordPress importer in track. And I actually got access to my Twitter archive. So if you go to twitter.com, log in, go to your settings at the bottom. And they haven't opened this up for everybody, but if you're one of the lucky ones, at the bottom of your settings, your main settings page, you'll see a request access to your archive. Click that. They'll send you an email when it's ready, and you download it. And it's literally a CSV file with every tweet you've ever sent, which was cool because I've been on Twitter since 2007. So it was a lot of fun just kind of clicking through the CSV, looking at, like, refreshing myself of where I was at, you know, five-plus years ago. So I installed the Twitter importer from Track and actually imported all my tweets locally. 22,000-plus tweets all imported. It was really neat. So I'm trying to think strategically how I want to import those on my blog, not so much to broadcast them more of an archive so that I have them, but, you know, so it's neat. You can download the plugin. It's fully functional. It runs using a bit of cron, I think, so it doesn't time out. So obviously it took about an hour, I think, to do it locally, so it'll probably take even longer on a host. But it was pretty solid, which I was surprised. I thought it would break. But
I was pretty stoked when you sent me that CSV of all your tweets. I kept scrolling through, and like all I kept seeing was posts about pizza rolls. It was pretty awesome.
Delicious.
It's funny just seeing, like, what I was tweeting about 2 years ago versus now. It's like, I mean, not even the same page, you know. Yeah, it literally is, like, if you use Twitter a lot and you've used it for a few years, it's an archive of where you're at in your life and what you're doing and what you're passionate about. So it's kind of fun to kind of skim through those. And you get them in WordPress, it makes it a little bit more manageable to kind of search through things and check things out. So check it out, because I'm excited to see this thing go live. There's some discussion on, you know, whether it should be posts or comments, and if they're posts, you know, what type of post format. And so it's at the stage where you can definitely get involved in it. I'm going to be submitting some code adjustments to the plugin, but it's pretty fun. So we'll have that in the show notes too.
Very cool. So my bar trick is going to be the Sensei product. I don't know if you've seen it, but it is a plugin for plugin put out by WooThemes, and it doesn't actually require you to use WooCommerce, but it does have a nice nice add-in connection if you need to. But I had a client who was doing online learning using a third-party system, and they were literally paying tens of thousands of dollars annually to do this, and it's nuts. We ended up bringing on, we set up WooCommerce for them, set up Sensei, and they were able to bring all of that in-house and move all of these, all of their sales of these online courses right onto their own website. So no longer sending them to some third-party site always sucks. I hate doing that anyway. So anytime you can kind of bring that all in-house, I'm a huge fan of. And with Sensei, it was so friggin' simple, and you know, for a product that is less than $100, you know, again, business solutions. This is one that's right off the shelf, ready to go. It pretty much kicks ass.
Boom! That's what I'm talking. Cool.
Love the Woo themes, guys, but they make my liver hurt.
Yes, they. yes, they do. They cause pain from Oh man, from abroad. It's crazy to think about Santan and these guys. So they added a different element here at Pressonomics, that's for sure. My bar tricks. Oh gosh, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Spit it out.
Fail. So my bar trick here is not really a bar trick, but actually a call for assistance. And when I mean assistance, I mean some assistance. We're looking for someone to help us here on the Dradcast with some of the production stuff that we need to do, whether that's show notes, content, post-show stuff. We'd love to hear from you if you're interested in helping out with the show. You can reach us, obviously, at Dradcast on Twitter, dradcast.com at any time, or you can email us over at info@dradcast.com or hit one of the forms right there on the site, and we'll work it from there. So we'd love to hear from you. No,
must,
I'm not.
Must be a fan of shuffling.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Oh, man. That was a big letdown. I was like, hey, are you ready? And it was done.
And fail.
So that was my bar tricks. Nothing special. But, yeah, go ahead and contact us if you're interested in being a part of the production here at Dreadcast. Now, I don't have much else for today, folks, but what I do have is that we have submitted to iTunes, and we're in the middle of getting approved. You have to have a first show to be able to get it up there and start getting the feed burned into iTunes. So that's already been submitted. We'll have that here shortly off of the main website, so you can go directly to iTunes and hear the podcast. We are available on YouTube. You can go to youtube.com/dragcast for all of the past episodes if you want to check out video. And what we are actually uploading MP3s directly to the main site. If you go through the show archives, you'll see the video right off of YouTube as well as the MP3 directly off of that. Those are my last words. Brad, what do you got, brother?
I'm linking everybody to beardpress.com in light of your beardiness today. I don't have a whole lot to add to that. Definitely follow us on Twitter, Dradcast. We'll be back next week. Same Drad time, same Drad channel.
Yeah.
John, where can people find you at, John, online?
You can find me at VegasGeek.com. You can find me at 9Seeds.com if you want any work done. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at VegasGeek. And if you would like to see me in person, you could probably do that next month at WordCamp San Diego.
I will see you there, my friend. I'm looking forward to it. Folks, Brad, thanks again, brother. Episode 2 is in the books. John Hawkins at Vegas Geek. Man, you're a sweetheart, and I can't wait for my next uncomfortable hug with you.
Folks, awkward hug, buddy.
Hey, thanks for listening in. This was the Dradcast.
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes. Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in. Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Yeah.